Well, if you brought your Bible with you, or you maybe find one next to you around there in the seat, you can turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. The birth of Jesus is a moment in history known to much of the world. The inspired scriptures give us the account of a young betrothed couple traveling to a foreign town, giving birth to their firstborn child. And the rooms were full, and there was no bed for him to be lain. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." It tells us here that the baby Jesus, after he was born, was taken care of as any other newborn would have been taken care of during that time. In reality, it's really not much different than today. We see in the prophet Ezekiel's writings, he uses the care of a newborn to actually speak against the city of Jerusalem. But in it, we learn a lot about what they did at the birth of a child. And it says in Ezekiel 16, "And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloths." We see this normal process to care for the baby immediately after birth. And noting this, we see that swaddling the baby in cloth that we read also in Luke chapter 2 for the baby Jesus was normal. It was expected. Swaddling gives the baby a feeling of security and warmth and tenderness. Others have even expressed the idea that they believed it strengthened the body of the baby. And it possibly even on the cloth itself embroidered the name of the family. But when the angels told the shepherds to go to Bethlehem because their promised Messiah had been born, they were told that they would find him wrapped in cloth, normal, in a manger, not normal. The cloth was expected. The manger was not. Now, because of tradition and pictures, and even the picture I found, of course, here, as the manger is made of wood, we think of these feeding troughs as usually is made of wood, but in that area during that time, they wouldn't have been. In fact, they would have been made of stone, because stone was much more prominent. Wood was rare and would have been saved for more special things. Common things like a feeding trough would have probably looked more like that. And it's really an incredible scene. We're first introduced to Jesus, of course, in the whole Bible, in this verse here. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The God who created all things with such wisdom and with such care, now entering into his very creation as a human being. The eternal, transcendent Lord now requires blood and requires breath, requires the love of a mother. Wrapped for security, held for warmth, but in the lowliest of places. Our God, who dwells between the cherubim, wrapped in eternal light, now wrapped with simple cloth, dependent on those that he knit together in the womb. Laid in a stone feeding trough to sleep. And as we think about his birth, we can't help but also know that he was born for a very reason. He was born to die. Now, I don't think that Jesus being wrapped in cloth at his birth was a foreshadow of his death. I don't know that. These were common practices. He was wrapped as a baby, of course, because it was normal. It was what you did to care for a baby. When someone died in that time, you wrapped them in cloth before you buried them, is what you did. It was normal. It was tradition. It was culture. But I love the parallels between his birth and his death. You think about this, the body of Jesus being wrapped in cloth in birth and in death. A present is a man named Joseph. The declaration by angels. Jesus' first breath of life in a manger, and then we have his first breath of eternal life as he comes out of the tomb. In both instances, his body being laid in stone. God gave us these two events, like bookends of Jesus' life. If you're in your Bible, move ahead in the book of Luke to chapter 23. Because we really don't do the justice of his birth unless we talk about the reason why he came. Jesus the Christ lived and he cared for people and he declared the kingdom. And then he died on a cross. And it says in verse 50 of chapter 23, "Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action that was to crucify Jesus. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. The man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in the stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how the body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment." The eternal God, the one true living God, the only uncreated one, he took on for himself blood and breath. The Lord is not like us. He had no use of those things before. But he purposefully took blood into a body that it would be poured out in death. And he took the breath into his lungs, knowing that there would come a time when he would take his last. And though each of us were purposefully knit together by God in the womb, we were enslaved to sin. Each one of us are held tight by death. And this is why he came. This is why we celebrate Christmas. On the cross, he became sin for us. The punishment of our disobedience to God was placed on him. His body was beaten, and his blood covered the ground. And by his stripes, we are healed. And after he died, he was wrapped in the cloth of death. These linen strips pulled tight against the corpse of the world's Savior. And they laid him in a tomb. But Luke chapter 24, verse 1 reads this. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest." And listen to this. "Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to be to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The baby who had been wrapped in cloth had grown to be a man who served people and who loved people. He preached the kingdom of God, and he showed the power of that kingdom through his many miracles. He stood up against man-made religion, and he cared for the lowly and the poor. And 3 days in the tomb, the power of God shined forth like never before. When Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead before, if you remember, Lazarus was still wrapped in those death cloths. But not Jesus. He left death in the tomb. He would never die again. Jesus had said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Here's the question for Martha at that time, and here's the question for each one of us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You see, friends, Christmas is not just about a baby, a miraculous star, and some filthy shepherds. This is our Lord God entering a battlefield, a mighty hero, an omnipotent conqueror, our Redeemer coming to seek and to save the lost. And it may have been a silent night, but in the unseen realm, the spiritual realm, swords were drawn and a war cry was heard. Jesus, the offspring of Eve, the seed of Abraham, the son of David, had come to crush the serpent's head. And Jesus reigns victorious. The light of the world had prevailed. And tonight, that is why we are here to celebrate. In a moment, we're going to light the candles and do our candlelight service. But as we are watching the light go around the room, know what this represents. That Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. All who are away from me live in darkness." But when he was incarnated to be human, he says that those who were in darkness had seen a great light. And now for those who repent of their sin and they believe in the Lord Jesus, it says that he washes them clean. He forgives them of their sin. He indwells them with his spirit. And now they, in his power and likeness, become the light of the world. And so we're seeing this as it goes around the room. As each one of us believe in the Lord Jesus, the light of him shines in us. So if you want to gather, if you don't have a candle yet, they're right out there. You can go grab one. We're going to make a circle around the room, and we're going to get the light shut off here. Josh, if you can shut the lights off back there, and we will now sing Silent Light after we see the light has lit.